First Peter, we'll look at the first six verses of chapter 4. And Peter will talk about suffering. As Christians, it's becoming more and more obvious that we are a minority in our nation. And humanistic beliefs are spreading, and they find us trying to hold a standard of our Lord. But our suffering has a purpose, and Peter will point that out to us. Have you ever asked, why me? How many times have you asked, why me? Why is my life so filled with hurt and pain? Why is my spouse against me? Why do my children insist on rebelling? Why is my job so expiring, so troubling? Why am I poor, money-wise, not rich? Why are some people so gifted and I'm not? I have a good friend. He's about 6'3", perhaps 6'4". He played basketball in college, and he was a basketball coach in high school. And his sons and his daughters are basketball coaches. And recently, his granddaughter, fresh out of junior college, was given a coaching job at a college. Now, my friend, he knows basketball, and he's passed that on to his children, and they now know basketball. And they know all the strategies of a good offense and a defense, and it's been passed down to them through Danny, my friend. And recently I heard him say, you can't coach height. And that is so true. Basketball is a tall person game. Therefore, if you're short or normal height, you can say, why am I short? Many who play the guard position in basketball in the pros are at least 6'4". It's unusual to find anyone under 6'4" playing guard, a ball handling position. And it's not unusual to have guards and pros that are 6'7". Now, you can say that pro sports is a big man's game, and it is. Recently, a pro golfer, DeChambeau, shot a 58. This has only been done once or twice in the history of pro golf. But DeChambeau, several years back, he went on a weight gain diet and an exercise program. And he added about 30 pounds of muscle to already what was a big frame. He was a big guy already. And he hits the golf ball extremely far. But he realized a change was needed in his life if he was going to be really a top-notch golfer. And if you watch pro golf, there's a definite tendency to be a big golfer, hit the ball further, etc. But Peter, he's going to talk to us as Christians and give us an example of being like Jesus, suffer like Jesus did, because it's a benefit. Now, we don't look upon suffering necessarily as a benefit. So let's look at Peter's first six verses of chapter 4. I'll read those. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men of the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Peter begins with a conclusion, therefore. And you have to ask, why is it therefore? Therefore, since Christ suffered in his flesh, he says, arm yourself with the same kind of mind that was in Christ. Or be prepared as a follower of Christ to suffer in this flesh. Now, we don't like to hear that. We do anything and everything to avoid discomforts in life. You know, I'm sure our medicine cabinet isn't the only one that has Tylenol in it or Excedrin. We don't like to suffer. But Peter says, arm yourself to suffer like Christ did. And suffering has great benefits to it. Our suffering brings about the stopping or ceasing of sin. Now, we don't always look at it that way. And we can find ourselves, when we suffer, no longer practicing sin. Now, John, in his three little epistles, he talks about sin not being a lifestyle. We all slip up, we all sin, but he says, don't practice sin. Don't let it become habitual. I long for the day when the pleasure of sin no longer entices me, when sin is no longer appealing. Now, we do all sin. We get caught up in prideful activities. And as I said, I long for the day when my first thought about a situation is not, how does that affect me? I see that in all manners of ways in our life. My question seems to always be, how does that relate to me? My concerns as a Christian man should be that sin decreases, not increases. I don't want to be a habitual sinner. So when we look upon Christ and how he suffered, verse 2 really applies there. No longer live and seek after the desires of my flesh or sin, but live a life of obedience towards the Lord. I propose a new thought to you. Perhaps we should pray for difficulties or suffering to come our way, if it's so good for us. But we don't want severe sufferings. We want little trials that we think we can handle. Mild trials. Maybe a little uncomfortable, but not severe trials. Then we read a passage that the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, I fill up the sufferings of Christ. Wow, what a thing to write. What a thing to put out there for the whole world to see. My wife, Lori, has a cousin, Susie. You've heard me probably speak of her. And recently, about a year ago, she was on the back of her husband's motorcycle. They were hit by a car, and he was killed. And we visited with Susie when we were just recently up in Alaska. And she was severely injured in this accident. Her right leg was really smashed, and She has steel pins in it, and she lost her right big toe and all these kind of things. And she's went through a lot of operations and continues in therapy. But I was talking with Susie, and she's a good Christian lady, and she confessed to me she had a desire after the accident, the loss of her husband, and in her sorrow, to just be done with life. Why, Lord, do you have this cup of suffering for me? She just wanted to go to heaven to be with the Lord and not fight through all this rehabilitation and sorrow. But for Susie, suffering was her destiny. It was her testimony. It was her identity as a Christian lady. Her first husband had died about 5 years ago from cancer. And now Marty, her present husband, had been killed by an intoxicated driver. And only now, a year after all of this accidents happening and everything, can she begin to appreciate how her suffering was what she was called to do because she was a Christian. And she's able to relate now to her physical suffering as a good thing. She's been called of God to suffer. And Susie, she finds herself not desiring pity. She doesn't want people to feel sorry for her. But she wants them to see that she's been chosen by God to suffer in this body. Her suffering makes me consider my little aches and pains in a proper perspective, that they're there, just little aches and pains. Especially when I look upon her life and all that she goes through simply to walk. Suffering gets our attention. It considers the eternal. Suffering goes beyond the physical or mental suffering that we may be going through, and it considers the final result. And Susie's life, her struggles, have been a witness to her family, which is full of unbelievers and believers. But her Christian witness of suffering goes forth, and her faith shines out. Her attitude is remarkable witness to all that know her. And she no longer thinks of her suffering as something strange that has come upon her, but that God chose her for this suffering. Now, that was Susie. Each and every one of us have difficulties that come upon us in our life. We have to maneuver through good times and bad times, suffering, some trivial, some severe. So don't think it's strange when a physical suffering or mental suffering comes your way. And they will come your way. They can be physical, like Susie's, but they can be mental sufferings also. For instance, have you ever suffered for a friend or perhaps one of your children that's going through a rough time? If you've been a parent, you have. Have you ever experienced physical pain on their behalf? That's a type of suffering. When my daughter was very little, less than a year old, she was malnourished, and we didn't realize it. She was just lifeless. And I would hold her and ask God, if possible, put her sickness upon me, Lord, but please deliver my daughter. And as parents, we would gladly trade places with a sick child or a child that perhaps has deficiencies. Back to my basketball friend. About 3 years ago, he came down with COVID-19, the virus. And his was a severe case. And he deteriorated, was placed in the hospital, but he only grew worse. And they had tubes down his throat and all this. And one Sunday afternoon, his doctor came by to see him, and his doctor basically told him, get your house in order, prepare yourself to die. He said, for tomorrow, if there's no improvement, we're going to put you on a ventilator, and that's kind of the death throes of the COVID-19. And as my friend Danny lay there fighting to breathe that night on his own, he had a Christian little nurse. I don't know if she was little, but he had a Christian young nurse. And this young girl came into his room at night, knelt down beside his bed, and she prayed for him. During the night, as Danny was there contemplating what he thought was his final days and hours, that death was a real possibility, he began to breathe on his own. And this was a surprise to him. His doctor came by the next morning, ready to put him on the ventilator and so forth, but he was surprised that Danny was now breathing on his own. The doctor remarked how he had improved overnight, and he said, I don't see any need to put you on a ventilator. Now, Danny is a Christian man, and he gives full credit to God for prayers answered on behalf of those praying for him. As Danny's friend, Lori and I were praying for him, but that young Christian nurse obeyed God, and she prayed for her patient. And Danny is still with us today. But he had a close encounter with death. And he still has some symptoms of what COVID did to him. But he is a witness of God's healing power, even of COVID-19. So the message for us, don't think it's a strange thing when we unexpectedly are called to suffer trials or health issues or suffer for a friend or perhaps even a child. Suffering tragedies come upon all of mankind, on unbelievers as well as believers. But no one understand this. Our Lord Jesus suffered for us on the cross. He took on the sins of the world. And Jesus, who did not ever sin, became sin for us. Now, that causes separation between God the Father and God the Son. And we can only imagine the pain and separation of Jesus from his Father when he was there on the cross. And Peter tells us, arm yourself, be ready for it, take on this mind that was in Jesus, and prepare yourself with the same mind that was in Christ. And if need be, suffer in the flesh, because sin stops when we suffer. That's a great promise for anyone who suffers. Sin that separates us from God is a great call upon any Christian's life to stop sinning, because it's a separation from God the Father and God the Son. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we don't understand suffering like Jesus suffered. That's beyond us, Lord. But Lord, we have things that come our way. We can suffer in our flesh, and we can suffer for others. But Lord, help us to have that mind that was in Jesus, that this suffering brought about good things, for it stopped sin in our life. And we need that, Lord. We need to be about you and your kingdom. We need to live a sanctified life before you. We need for the lust of the flesh to be put down, Lord. We need to hear you loud and clear when you tell us to live a holy life. Lord God, help us to not disdain suffering, but to embrace it for the results it brings. It brings forth a sanctified, holy life unto you. And Lord, we want to live that kind of life to you. We don't want to be ruled by our flesh and ruled by the lust of our flesh. We don't want the desires of sin to overcome us, Lord. So help us. Help us to see when we suffer that it can be a suffering with benefits where we stop sinning. So help us, Lord, and we pray for this. So be with us, watch over us, and take care of us. And we will praise and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.